granted him favor in the eyes of his prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. And so Joseph's stewardship in the household of Potiphar was moved then into the situation of the prison. Joseph became a steward of the entire prison, in charge of everything there, just as he had been in the household of Joseph, or rather of Potiphar. As was typical, Joseph, who was a slave, was entrusted with significant responsibilities. Probably hard for us to imagine how a slave would be entrusted as Potiphar entrusted Joseph, but that was simply the way things were done. It was not atypical at all. If a slave performed well as a steward, then he might earn money, or he might gain his freedom. Righteous men sometimes adopted stewards as if they were their own children, or perhaps they would simply give them an inheritance at the time of their passing. In Genesis chapter 21, after Joseph had interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, verses 41 through 43 tell us that the Pharaoh gave Joseph a job as yet another kind of steward. And it says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, 'Make way!' Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt." So Joseph has progressed from the steward of the house of Potiphar to the steward of the prison to the steward of the entire land of Egypt. But in each case, Joseph's basic responsibilities were the same. That which was entrusted to him was basically the same principles. He was in charge of all. Now, when Joseph became the steward of all Egypt, his status changed. Where before, both in Potiphar's house and in the prison, he had been a slave, now he was a free man. Now he was second only to Pharaoh himself. Now he is in charge of all that the Pharaoh owns, which is all of Egypt. Similarly, in Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 15, we read of Shebna, a man who was in charge of all the king's palace. In the New Testament, the idea continues, this idea of being over a house or over the property of an owner. But it takes on a different kind of translation in the Greek. It means one who is entrusted. Many well-to-do householders, we understand it, during the first century, had a slave who was called a steward, just as Joseph had been. A sort of business manager who, like Joseph, managed the estate and who could be in charge of rations to other servants. The steward that we read about in Luke chapter 16 and verse 2 is a manager for the business of a rich man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verses 1 through 2, we find Paul identifying himself and his fellow workers as stewards. Now that does not mean that Paul was a slave of any person, but it does mean that Paul understood his relationship and his responsibilities to God in that role. And so he says, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." The word steward is never used in this. The word manager is never used in this. But the concept is very clearly and strongly here. Paul understood it very well. He spoke to those who understood it very well. Paul saw himself as the steward or the manager of things that were the property of God. And Paul understood that in that role, he was responsible or accountable to God for all that was in his care. Mark chapter 13 and verse 34 gives a picture of an owner's and a steward's environment, speaking of a man, an owner, who was going away. But before he went away, he left his house and put his servants in charge, each with his assigned task. And he told the one at the door to keep watch. This is a perfect image, in a nutshell, of an owner with his steward or stewards. Luke 12, verses 42 through 48, as Eddie read to us just a few moments ago, shows two kinds of stewards or managing servants. These men are not hired employees. Instead, these are slaves who served their owner, their master. They didn't hire on, and they didn't at some time decide to resign at their will. They were slaves. They had been given responsibilities according to their abilities, according to their aspirations, and very likely according to their attitudes as well. Stewards, then, were slaves. They were physical property that was bought and sold. They were the property of the one who bought them, their owner, their master, their lord. A slave who was given the position of a steward or manager was greatly trusted and greatly honored by that owner. And so this text tells us that followers of Jesus are his stewards, managers of the things that have been entrusted to them. And so everything that applied to a steward applies to a follower of Jesus. Christians are honored with God's trust. And as we'll see over the next 4 weeks, God has entrusted to us everything he created. We must be faithful and wise managers of all that he's put us in charge of. According to this text, a steward's task was to manage all of the affairs of his master. It was to attend to receipts and expenditures, and it was to portion out to each one in the household what should come to them. The disciples, then, as this is being directed to, were left in charge of Jesus' gospel, and they were to use this gift to the best advantage in behalf of others until Jesus returned. For after all, he was the master. He is the master of every Christian who is his slave to serve him. Christians then are entrusted with God's property. Whether that's physical property or what we have come now to term intellectual property, that is, God's ideas, God's wisdom, God's will. Christians are entrusted with God's property. And as we'll see in coming weeks, we're entrusted with the management of everything that God owns. And God owns everything. Whatever is in our control in life has come from God. It is not ours. What we think we own is really entrusted to us for a very short period of time. We come into this life with nothing, and we leave with nothing. But while we're here, we're entrusted with certain things for our care and our use. So whatever is in our control in life has come to us from God. It is not ours. It is his blessing, God's blessing, to be used in his service to accomplish his purposes. He has entrusted it to us to manage on his behalf. As the Old Testament and New Testament references have shown, a manager entrusted with all the great responsibilities of the owner's belongings must give account to his owner. In the same way, Christians are accountable to God's standards. It's a reminder that we are slaves in God's service. That it is not our standards by which we judge the quality of our service. It's not by our standards that we define what we will and will not do, but rather by His standards that He's already set and informed us of, and that we know. It's for us to live up to those standards. Just as a slave steward could abuse his authority if the master were not present, so you and I, who are Christians, can abuse our responsibilities as managers of God's things, whatever, what all, that encompasses. This parable that Jesus told was directed to people who were responsible for leading others to Christ's gospel. If we selfishly ignore our responsibilities to Christ, just as the slave servants, the servant stewards in this parable did, then we will give an account to Him just as that steward did. As managers responsible to God, then we must be faithful in doing His will. We must be filled with faith that He will in fact return and that we will be held accountable. This text really emphasizes our responsibility as God's manager for people under our leadership. And we all have such people. People that we lead by way of our words, our actions, our attitudes, and our values. And we will give account to Him for that management by His standards. The seriousness of our responsibility of being managers of God's things is underscored by what Jesus has to say in this parable about the rewards or the punishments that God will give. Verses 43 and 44 indicate that a faithful manager will be rewarded with greater honor. But verses 45 through 48 indicate that an unfaithful manager who lives for himself will be punished as he deserves. Jesus concludes in verse 48 by saying, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." God has given us all in this world to enjoy. The richness, the depth, the breadth of our blessings, all of the things that are within the scope of possibility for you and I to enjoy is beyond words. It's beyond understanding. God has given us His love and His guidance. He's given us time and opportunity. He's given us learning, and He's given us sustenance that we can live each day. He's given us more than we can in any way sense or imagine or know. But greatest of all, God has given us His Son as the sacrifice for our sins and the salvation for our souls. And if all of these other things that we have to enjoy in life, the things tangible and intangible, the things visible and invisible, if those things were not enough, and as far as God is concerned, as rich a gift and series of blessings as they are not enough. He has given us what is enough. He's given us His Son. And that alone, if all else failed, is much. And so, when we consider what Jesus says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked," we have to know that that he's speaking to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20 reminds Christians that they are not their own, but are bought with a price, the price of a slave. And that price was not paid for by way of any kind of bartering. The price was not paid for with silver or gold or the transfer of property of any sort. But the price was paid in the most precious way, with the death of God's own Son. It's not too much for God to ask, even demand, that you and I who are Christians be faithful managers of all that He has. Because if we're Christian, we're His slave. He owns us. And He has chosen to entrust us with much. This parable that Jesus tells in Luke 12 reminds us that Christ Jesus will return one day, and that all people will give account to Him of their lives. Will He find you faithful to Him, or will He find you unfaithful? Will He find you living and working with an awareness of your accountability to Him and His standards? Or will He find you as that unfaithful servant who believes the master will never return and takes advantage of every opportunity to abuse everything placed within his care? Where are you in life right now, and how can we help you? Is it by turning your life over to Him to be His slave and to be honored greatly by Him? Or is it to live for yourself? If we can bring you to God through your choice, your action, your convictions, your confession of Him as Christ as Lord, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.
And pity crawleth, turn and listen to and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, laid upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take His yoke, for He is meek and lowly. Bear His burden, to Him turn. He who calleth and the Master holy, He will teach if you will learn. Yea, that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then His loving, tender voice obeying, bear His yoke, His burden.